Good morning. It's great to have you with us today, and we appreciate your joining us to study the Bible together for just a few minutes. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 9 today at a story that is sometimes called the Mount of Transfiguration. Sometimes it's simply called the Transfiguration of Jesus Christ. This is a famous and a well-known story, and we want to do our best to learn as much as we can about it today. Now, let me say about this story that you're also going to read about this event in Matthew and also in Mark. So if you want to do a more full study, a more detailed study of the Mount of Transfiguration, then I would look at these passages if you want to jot them down. Matthew chapter 17 and Mark chapter 9. You'll read about this story in Matthew 17 and in Mark chapter 9, and that way you're going to get a fuller description and a more complete picture of what's taking place here. But we're going to spend our time today in Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 28, and we're going to follow the same kind of procedure that we always do. We're going to read the Bible. We're going to make comments on and try our best to explain what we read. And then we're going to try to learn the lessons that God wants us to learn and apply to our lives. Now, if we stop short of that third step, that is making the application to our lives, then we're going to cheat ourselves. We're going to rob ourselves of the benefits that God wants us to have. You see, we can learn a lot about the Bible. We can study the Bible as a history book, and we can learn what happened in Jesus' day. We can memorize some of the details. We can remember what Jesus said and who he was talking to and what took place. But if we never transfer those great truths to our lives, then we're not really studying the Bible, because it's all about changing our lives. And so today, with that in mind, let's look at the story of the Transfiguration, and let's see what kind of lessons we can learn that will help us in our lives, and what kind of truths we can either learn or be reminded of that will make us stronger in our faith. Let's begin here in Luke chapter 9, verse 28. The Bible says, "And it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray." Now, oftentimes, Peter, James, and John are called the inner circle of the apostles, or the inner circle of the disciples, because Jesus did things with them. He took them to places that he didn't take all of the 12 to. And so we find Peter, James, and John with him here. We also find that Jesus took Peter, James, and John aside into the Garden of Gethsemane just before he was crucified as well. Now, the Bible says that he took them up into a mountain, and he took them up there to pray. Now, the Bible says in verse 29, "And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering." Now, here's what the rest of the Bible says about that. When the Bible says that his countenance was altered and his raiment was white and glistering, well, the Bible tells us in Mark chapter 9 that his clothes were white as snow, so that no launderer, and the King James uses the word fuller there, can whiten them. So when you think about washing clothes and getting them just as white as you possibly can, well, the Bible says in Mark chapter 9 that there is no detergent, there is no washing that you can do to any kind of white clothing that would make those clothes as white as Jesus' clothes were on this occasion. The Bible says the appearance of his face was altered. Verse 29, "As he prayed, the fashion of his countenance, that is, the appearance of his face, was altered. His clothes were white, his clothes were sparkling." And the Bible shows that his face was shining like the sun. Now, you read that in Matthew chapter 17, that his face shined as the sun and his clothes were white as the light. And who can help but remember what happened with Moses back in the Old Testament? When Moses went before the presence of the Lord and he came back to join the people of Israel, remember what the Bible says about him? The Bible says that his face shone, and he had to put a veil over his face because of the brightness of his countenance. Well, those are just reminders that something powerful is at work here. And what we find here in Luke chapter 9 is that Jesus is being transfigured. Now, you don't find that particular word here in Luke chapter 9, verse 29, but you find it in Matthew chapter 17 and in Mark chapter 9. Somebody says, well, what does that mean? What does it mean when the Bible says that Jesus was transfigured? Well, it just means that he was changed into another form. His form was changed, and that not only includes his physical body, but as we've seen here, even his clothes. Now, what all that entailed, I don't know, because the Bible really doesn't go into that. There was just some kind of supernatural change that took place here, and the effect of it all was that there was this great brightness to everything that was associated with Jesus, his body and his clothes even. So God is literally shining the light on Jesus Christ, his Son, here. And the Bible tells us something interesting took place here in verse 30. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias. That is, Moses and Elijah. Now, it's interesting to go back in the Old Testament and remember what happened to these men and how they left this world. Moses was the faithful lawgiver of Israel, the faithful man of God. He made a big mistake in his life, and for that reason, he was not allowed to go into the promised land. Well, you know where Jesus is at this time? Well, he's in the promised land. He's in the land of promise. And Moses is now with him there. So even though Moses died before he could actually go and set his foot in the promised land, he's there right now, and he's there with the Messiah talking with him. So although Moses left this life and was not able to enjoy going into the promised land like the rest of the Israelites did, still at the same time, he went on to glory, and the Bible says here that he's appearing with Jesus Christ in glory. But what about Elijah? The Bible says that Elijah did not die. He was taken up by a whirlwind and chariots of fire into heaven in 2 Kings chapter 2. Elijah was this great man of God, a very bold prophet, one of the most well-known prophets of the Old Testament. And here he is talking with Jesus. Now, I want you to notice something in particular in verse 31, and this is the only passage in the Bible that I know of that says anything about this. When the Bible says in verse 30 that Moses and Elijah were there with Jesus and they were talking with him, one of the questions that sometimes arises is, well, I wonder what they talked about. And wouldn't you have liked to have been in on that conversation? Would you not have liked to have been there to just listen to Moses and Elijah talk with Jesus Christ? And so sometimes people wonder out of curiosity, what did they talk about? Well, in Luke chapter 9, verse 31, you have the one verse in all the Bible that tells us what they were talking about. It does not give the conversation word for word, but it does tell us the topic of their discussion. Luke 9, verse 31, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. Moses and Elijah were there talking with Jesus Christ about the fact that he was going to die. They were talking about his upcoming death that he was going to experience in Jerusalem. So you see, Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is God in the flesh. But Jesus is in the form of a man. Jesus is a man or a human being as well as being God manifest in the flesh. And so he's going to experience the dread of the cross. We know that because of what he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane when he said, Father, if you're willing, let this cup pass from me. So Jesus did experience those human feelings when he was on the earth. So here is Moses, and here is Elijah, talking with Jesus Christ about the fact that he is going to die, and it's going to be a painful death. It's going to be a humiliating death. And it's not going to be a quick death. He's going to die a slow, painful death that is also going to be preceded by the beatings and the scourgings that he experienced. Who wouldn't dread that? Well, Moses and Elijah are there talking with him about that and perhaps giving him the encouragement that anybody would want in that kind of situation. So what we find here also, folks, is far different from the kind of trivial messages and the silly messages that people claim that they have received from the dead today. You know, when you see one of these shows or you hear one of these stories about somebody talking with the dead or the dead sending back a message, it's usually something that's very trivial, or it's usually something that has to do with this life and this life alone, nothing that's really higher as far as its purpose is concerned. But here the Bible says that Moses and Elijah were talking with Jesus Christ about his death on the cross. Well, in verse 32, the Bible says, "But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him." Now, somehow they found out that this was Moses and Elijah. I don't know how. But the Bible says in verse 33, "And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, or tents, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. Now that means he didn't realize what he was talking about right here. Peter was saying this out of good intentions, no doubt. He said, this is a good situation here. Here's Moses, and here's Elijah, and here's you, the Messiah. We need to make tabernacles or tents for all three of you, one for each one. But Peter did not realize the consequences and the implications of what he had said. Because whether he knew it or not, Peter was putting Jesus Christ on the same level as Moses and Elijah, and he was not. Jesus was far above them, and that's what the Bible says in verse 34. "While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone." So God the Father spoke down from heaven and said, "My Son is not on the same level as Moses and Elijah. He's far greater." And this tells us today, folks, that the Old Testament is not on the same level as the New Testament. Now, there are lessons that we learn from the Old Testament. There are permanent moral truths that are found there. But as far as the way of worship is concerned, as far as other religious laws are concerned, we're not under Moses' law. We're not under the law that Elijah lived under. We are under Jesus' law, which is the New Testament. And that has to be one of the primary lessons that we learn from Luke chapter 9 in the great story of the Transfiguration. Well, thank you for listening today. I hope that this story has helped in some way, and we'll look forward to joining you again tomorrow morning, Lord willing, at this same time. Thank you for listening, and have a great rest of the day.